Call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present except for Councillor Passero, who is away for personal reasons.
Thank you. There are no announcements this evening, and there's no addendum. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there are no public notices of upcoming meetings. But there is a public meeting this evening, and it relates to official plan amendment number 34 and a property rezoning. And I see Mr. Hayworth here. I presume that you will be providing us with some background with respect to this public meeting. I see at least one member in the audience. So after you've completed your comments to council, we'll ask councillors if they have any questions, and we'll ask the audience if they have any questions or comments with respect to the proposal. Please proceed.
Good evening, Mayor and members of council. This is a town-initiated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment for some lands on the south side of Bowen Road to permit specific industrial uses. The town considered an initiation report, PDS 03-2017, to amend the official plan and zoning bylaw for these lands. The purpose of this public meeting is obviously to gather public input and further inform council of the amendments. The request is to consider this amendment came from two different property owners along Bowen Road to revert back to the previous industrial designation and zoning they once had at one time. This amendment rounds out a small area that includes a minor amount of additional lands beyond the two properties. It recognizes one industrial developed property and a minor amount of neighboring lands that would correspondingly make sense to include in the amendment, and the town is the approval authority for the proposed amendments. As I mentioned, the subject lands are located south side of Bowen Road, west of Thompson Road. There's no sewers available without an extension of municipal services. The area that we're talking about consists of about 7 hectares or about 17 acres. Of this, a hectare and a half or almost 4 acres of the property has a long-standing truck and trailer operation for truck repairs. There is a railway and industrial designation lands to the north, a provincially significant wetland and wooded area to the south, and a vacant and developed urban residentially designated lands to the south and southwest, which are on private services. The map shows the general location of the subject lands in yellow and kind of the surrounding area as well. From a policy perspective, the provincial policy statements prefer urban development to be on full municipal services, and if you can't have that, to be on communal services. However, the policy does indicate that development in the urban area is permitted for infilling and minor rounding out of existing development on private services, which we consider to be the case in this regard, given where the lands are and the development that's in the middle of them. Currently, the regional official plan, it's in the urban area and permits mixed and integrated land uses in the urban area, and we're awaiting the region's comments, which we're expecting shortly. The region owns one of the properties along Bowen Road, which is west of the corridor. This map shows the official plan designations of urban residential and open space on the west side with an EC overlay. The larger EP area that you see, which is a provincially significant wetland mentioned, is not part of this amendment. From an official plan perspective, what we're looking at is changing the designations, which are urban residential and open space with EC, to a site-specific industrial business park designation. And it would permit certain industrial uses on the lands of a low-intensive industrial operation on private services predominantly. The low-intensive industrial uses will be identified in the zoning bylaw other uses may be permitted without amendment to the plan, provided they can adhere to the ministry D6 separation distances. The EC area, which is the environmental conservation area, which is shown on the map here over the open space, would still be maintained and would still be in effect. So we're not proposing to change that. The zoning bylaw, the lands are currently zoned neighborhood development with the open space on the west side of the corridor and EC zone overlay as well. And the amendment would be to a site-specific dry industrial zone permitting a variety of low-intensive industrial uses on private services. These private services are to only service the employees of these industries. Additional uses are permitted subject to full municipal services and adherence to the D6 guidelines. And I'm going to get into the uses permitted in the zoning bylaw. For context, this amendment, the official plan policy and the zoning amendment and uses are very is basically identical to the approach we used on Helena Street. The only difference is one of the permitted uses you would see at the beginning is existing uses, which is the truck and trailer repair use. So that's already, that would be identified as an existing use and then a permitted use. So basically, we're being very strategic and specific in terms of the types of uses that would be permitted on private sanitary sewers, and it would be based for employees. And also, I'd like to mention, too, the size and the configuration of some of the parcels will also limit, and setbacks will also limit the size of development that can happen on the lands as well. So the types of zoning uses, existing uses, public storage, science or medical laboratory, tradesperson shops, transportation depots, wholesale establishments, warehousing, veterinarian clinics, pet daycare, plumbing shops, service shops, equipment rental and services, courier and delivery services, lumber and building yards, public uses and operations, catering establishments, business or commercial trade schools, construction trades establishment, communication facilities, commercial refueling stations, communication facilities, factory outlet, gasoline bars, transportation truck terminal, bakery and uses. And then provided that if sanitary sewers are not available, no sewage disposal requirements are necessary as part of the assembly, manufacture, fabrication, repair, packaging, and storage activities. If sanitary sewers are not available, sewage disposal requirements are limited to those necessary to serve on-site employees only, as I mentioned. Private sewage disposal is permitted until such time as municipal services are available. And in addition to permitted uses, should sanitary services become available, there's a list of other uses that could be permitted if those services come into play. Automotive uses, dry cleaning plants, food processing establishments, industrial uses, laundries, machine shops, medical marijuana grow and production facilities, motor vehicle body shop, motor vehicle repair shop, manufacturing, printing establishments. All of the uses permitted above are subject to separation distances identified in the ministry's D6 guidelines, and notwithstanding the requirements, no outside storage would be permitted. We held a public information session on February 9th. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the requirements as well as the public information meeting. We put it in the paper for January 26th, and we mailed all the property owners within 120 meters of the property. We also put notices in the library, the Leisure Plex, and in accordance with the other areas that are identified in council policy. At the open house, we had two attendees. One attendee owned lands within the subject area, which was on the west side of the corridor, south of the lands the region owned. And he was just, I think, basically following up for information. He he might show up at the public meeting, I'm not sure. And the other was a couple that owned a residence on the towards the east of the subject lands on the south side, and they learned that narrow area, triangular area, would be difficult to develop because of setbacks, etc. So they were informed of the public meeting, and we discussed the subject lands. From a timeline perspective, we've had the open house, we're at the public meeting. I'm waiting on comments from the region, which I expect, depending on when I get those, I could probably have a recommendation report to council March 20th or the beginning of April. And then we are the approval authority to get the amendment, should council approve it, formally done and processed and notice of appeal. We'd be looking at June at the latest, probably sooner, if depending on when I get the recommendation report to council, but that could be May. And that concludes the public meeting.
Thank you very much. We'll conclude your comments at the public meeting.
All right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hayworth. Any questions by members of council? Could you go to slide 7 or 10? Sorry. Councillor Lubberts, you had a question. Councillor Butler, you did? No. Councillor Lubberts. Councillor Lubberts, you go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. In the beginning of the slide, I didn't mark down the number, but it showed there was a couple people that sent emails requesting.
Yes, there were a couple people. One just wanted the map kind of blown up email to them of the subject lands, and the others were interested in the kind of natural heritage in the wooded areas and what part of the wooded areas were subject to the amendment. I don't believe they came to the open house.
No, at the beginning of the slides here, you mentioned that there were two recommendations to have it rezoned.
Two requests by residents.
Yes, two residents. One, they're both on properties. Oh, I can maybe show you on the map.
Yeah.
So my eyes are going, but the kind of flag-shaped parcel on Bowen Road that's right in the middle of the yellow area that's along Bowen Road, mm-hmm. The existing truck business, they wrote in requesting the change to be recognized. And then the other property is on the very west side, the triangular piece on the west side right along Bowen Road, east of the corridor.
Yeah, just for my verification, if they're requesting that we change the zoning, how does it become a town-initiated zoning amendment? Why isn't it not their initiative?
Well, these lands were once industrial, and through the official plan update we did several years ago, there were other lands that were industrial, too, that were changed because there was a lot of residences that were changed to urban residential. These lands were pulled into that amendment. And from our perspective, we're looking at it and it makes sense because we're not just involving, when we looked at their land specifically, you have to include some other lands as well to round out that boundary. So we thought it should be a town initiated amendment.
Okay, all right. And on slide 12, you mentioned tradespeople's shop. Can I just get some clarification on that? Tradesperson's shop. I'm a tradesperson, but I'm not a business owner. So how would that, I can just put a shop there?
I believe I'd have to look at the definition specifically to quote exactly what's allowed under that definition, but I would think it's like a trade shop where they keep their materials there and they move out from there.
Yeah, like a commercial business.
And like I mentioned, a lot of these uses are going to be limited because of the parcel where it's located, the configuration, and the setbacks.
Yeah, so can we just get some better clarification on tradespersons? Because I know where you're going there, and I wouldn't want to see somebody that doesn't have their own business just because they're a tradesperson like myself, to be putting a shop there to store things that they're not allowed to store at their home, maybe.
I can look at that definition and bring that clarification forward with the recommendation report.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other counselors? Could you go to slide 7 again, please? So I take it the red line is the demarcation of the urban boundary?
Yeah, that's correct.
You know how far that urban boundary goes west on Bowen?
I think it follows along towards the highway.
So I'd be interested in knowing that.
I can bring a larger, higher level map for the report, or
I can check with you later. I don't think that's particularly germane, but I was curious about it.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no other questions, thank you very much, Mr. Hayworth. And now I'll ask if there are any members of the public that wish to speak in favor of the application. There are none. I will ask if there are any members of the public here who wish to speak in opposition or to ask questions about the application. Being none, then I'll declare this public meeting closed. That then takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any reports that anyone wishes removed? There are none. I'll entertain a motion to Councillor Nutt. Does anyone have any questions with respect to the reports contained in the consent agenda? I had a question with respect to report S14, and that is, in terms of the agencies that were given notification or requested for comments, is the EDTC included in that?
Yes, they are, Your Worship.
So if they have comments, we'll get those as part of your follow-up report.
That's correct.
Thank you. And then the other question that I had related to report IS02. First of all, I thought it was a very well-prepared report, and I want to congratulate staff for doing that. I had a question about the lead sampling comments on page 4. There was an indication that the lead sampling is being deferred. The requirement for us to do lead sampling is being deferred to 2018. Mr. Walsh, can you provide any background on that?
Yes, I can. A number of years ago, the Ministry of the Environment came out with a requirement for towns to sample lead in municipal water at the end use, which means in the person's home. So every municipality underwent a regime of testing. And when, in our case, when results came back favorable, i.e. no lead in the system or very little lead in the system, we were granted reprieve from further testing. There are some municipalities, and I give St. Catharines as an example, that has some very old services that are made entirely of lead. Lead, as we know, is very detrimental to the health of developing young children. So they continue with their lead sampling program. It's not an expensive undertaking, but it is very rigorous. So fortunately, in our part, we have very little lead in the system, and we've been granted reprieve as a result.
Great, thank you. And please pass on to Mr. Boutin and your team over there my congratulations and appreciation.
I will, thank you.
Any questions? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just in regards to IS01 2017 and the engineering report that we're requesting for the update on the water master plan and pollution prevention control plan study update, Mr. Walsh, is this going to also include any of the, I know it says for wastewater master plan and the pollution prevention plan, not maybe particularly as it pertains to this study that we're tendering, but my question being, with the concerns that residents have in regards to their water bills, and there was some discussion in the past about trying to measure the amount of water coming out of the regional plants, and there was discussion of zone meters. Is that still the plan? Is that still going to continue? Because I know that many of the residents would be interested in finding out if there's a lot of seepage or waste that we're paying for that we're not capitalizing on, and how do we reduce that number?
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have, as council will recall, we brought forward two reports, I believe in June or May of 2016, regarding our non-revenue water issue, which is about $1 million a year. The second report was on our inflow and infiltration abatement program. It's a much more significant dollar figure annually. With respect to non-revenue water, which the councillor speaks to tonight, we do have a number of factors going forward. In 2017, we have our annual water audit where we try and track exactly how much water we are not accounting for. We are retaining the services of a consultant to help us track any leaks that are in the system. With respect to the region's infrastructure, we are still in discussions with them to get further confirmation on the state of their meters to make sure that we're getting billed correctly, and that's progressing. With respect to lastly, with respect to the water system, council will receive next week a presentation from GM Blue Plan. They are completing our water master plan. The report will be coming forward at the March Infrastructure Services Business Subcommittee for acceptance. This is the other side of the coin. This is the wastewater master plan. It will guide how we repair our sewers for the next 10 years to minimize our inflow costs.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. I have nothing further. It's just good to know that there is a serious look being taken at that. I know it's a lot of concern that I've heard out of residents, especially in my ward, and I'm sure that's shared across the town as a whole at the rising costs of water, especially with the weather trending this year, much like it did last year.
Other questions? Before I go to the vote, I did also want to express appreciation to Tom Mather and Councillor Butler with respect to this performance evaluation report regarding the CAO. And I know that it's been a long time coming, and I appreciate the assistance from Councillor Butler and certainly Tom Mather's experience and wisdom in this. So I'm very much looking forward to being able to evaluate the CAO. And I'm sure he can hardly wait to be evaluated. Okay. It's nice to know. If there are no other questions, all those in favor of the reports in the agenda? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to infrastructure services, and I will give the chair to you, Councillor Zanko. Councillor Loop, okay. Which are you with now?
December
1st. Okay.
And I'm vice chair.
All right. Are there any other changes I need to know about?
No.
Who are the, I know that Councillor Nutt is the chair of corporate services.
That's all you.
Yeah. Do I have the right chair for
Your Worship, Councillor Lubertz is currently the Chair of Infrastructure Services, Councillor Butler is currently the Chair of Planning and Development Services, and Councillor Nutt is currently the Chair of Corporate and Community Services.
Okay, that all happened December the 1st.
They switched the positions of Chair and Vice Chair on December 1st, yes.
All right, okay, good to know. Councillor Lubertz, no.
And Councillor McDermott, I think now is the Mayor, is that correct?
Yeah. In his nightmares.
Thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Infrastructure Services is now in session. We have no presentations or delegations. We have no report. So that brings us to new business and inquiries. Is there any inquiries by members of council? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Councillor Lubertz. Through yourself to Mr. Cookett, Mr. Walsh, considering that we've hardly used our winter control budget. Is it possible to look at taking advantage of the nice weather and proceeding with some ditching that we need to get done in certain areas of the town and doing maybe some spring maintenance work on cutting back brush, et cetera.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair. That's exactly what our forces are doing, as well as chasing potholes due to the numerous freeze-thaw cycles we've had.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Speaking of potholes, on Coral Avenue, there was a huge one. I drove over it with my truck. I thought I was losing my front end. Coral Avenue, right towards West Main. I did survive.
Any other questions or inquiries? Seeing none, we'll move to business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back over to Mayor Redicott.
Thank you. So that would take us to corporate and community services, and that would be Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and community services is now open. We have no presentations or delegations. There are currently no reports. Are there any new business or inquiries? Seeing none, I'll move on to the business status report. Any questions or comments concerning the business status report? Seeing none, I'll close community and corporate services and turn the chair back over to Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you. We have a Court of Revisions meeting here at Town Hall tomorrow at 6 p.m.
That's February 22nd. Any other meetings? Councillor Nutt.
The Chamber of Commerce is having their grand reopening tomorrow at 4 p.m.
And there's an EDTC meeting tomorrow at 5. Any other meetings? There are none. Any other meetings to be announced? Okay. There are none, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I move that the Council and Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourn at 6:27 p.m.
All those in favor? Unopposed? That is carried. Thank you, folks.